Now we are. Tell me more about your herpes.
I take herpes medication every day and I still have a cold sore on my lip. So I took three of my herpes medications today. I only take one a day, but I decided to take three of them today. Yep. See, it's active. Herpes are active. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure I shared drinks with people this weekend and I was like, my herpes are dormant.
Okay. Yeah. Let's introduce the podcast.
But let's do the intro. Eventually, we'll get to the point where we just do the intro immediately. And then I have, but I also got feedback that I like the little banter, that people like the little banter at the beginning of everything. So that's fun. But I also have some, I added a little place on our notes about last week's episode so I could share with you some of the feedback.
I already saw it.
Okay. All right. So let's start with the intro.
Oh, no, I'm first.
I'm going to be reading from mine, but you already fucked yours up so bad that I'm going to be all right. So
I'm first. Hello. Hello and welcome to the Mental Funny Bone, Becoming the Gastro Girls. I'm Christine.
And I'm Sarah. A big part of this podcast is discussing mental health, but please know that we are by no means licensed medical health professionals. We will be simply offering our perspectives based on personal experiences and encourage listeners to seek professional help when needed. I believe that we will have some mental health resources linked at some point in show notes, but we haven't figured out how to do any of that shit yet. So eventually that will happen.
All right. But do you want to start talking about last week's episode?
I would. Thank you for the few listeners that we had, many of them being my friends, I'm pretty sure. So I appreciate you all. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have at least three people come back for episode two. So that's pretty fucking cool. A couple things, a little bit of feedback. One of my friends asked me what a gastro girl is. Oh. And I forgot that not everybody knows what our maiden name is. So that's a gastro girl. We are a gastro girl. Well, not we together. Each of us is a gastro girl. Gastro is our maiden name. That's a gastro girl. Next, someone asked me if there's somewhere where they could watch the video of this, because we do say things like we could see each other because we can, because we are doing video, but we haven't gotten that far yet. So eventually we'll have a YouTube challenge. We'll have a YouTube channel, and my sister has decided that that's going to be May's challenge. So don't expect that anytime before May. I'm going to throw out June.
definitely May. I think YouTube channels are easier.
They probably are, but there's only so many things you can learn and plus have a new job and learn new shit at your regular job. Like, it's a lot. There's a lot.
You say that like I'm going to be new to my new job. And I'm the same thing for 30 years.
I've been with my company for not over 9 years now, almost 10. And I was actually referring to myself still learning shit.
Oh, my bad.
So
no, my bad. You're good then. Yeah.
It's a lot. And then let's see. So the video and Christine, you need to mute your phone. Thank you.
Did I mess it up again?
No, you need to mute your cellular telephone. That's a piece of feedback. Oh,
yeah. That understood. Understood.
That was actually feedback from myself when I listened to it.
Right. No, I wrote it down. There's a sticky note here somewhere amongst all other sticky notes that says, hey, when you're podcasting, I can hear everything go beep, beep.
Yeah, and you're one of those assholes that leaves on the sound when you're typing. So every letter that you hit goes tick, 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 tick. I can't make the actual noise, but – and yes, I called you an asshole.
Yeah. No, I did that today in a meeting, and my boss texted me and was like, hey, I can hear you texting.
Dick.
I was like, this meeting is boring.
And you were worried about looking down too much on your meetings. Yeah. No, it's not the looking down that's going to get you fucked. It's the actual sound of you texting that will screw that up. Okay. And my last note is a bit of feedback for myself is that last week we talked a lot about talking about mental health and how talking helps and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I just want to make sure that I state that talking isn't for everybody. Like, that's not everybody's thing, and I get it. And there's other outlets and there's other ways to deal with things. And I suggest starting with a therapist. They'll help you find ways to figure it out. So I guess talking to a therapist, but I just want to throw that out there that I do have people in my life that don't talk, and it works for them in their own way. And to be honest with you, when I'm in one of my quote unquote funks, I don't really want to talk. The only reason I talk to my sister is because she forces me to, and I talk to my therapist because I pay her. So it's not until really I come out of those funks that I am okay to talk about them. So that's my two cents on talking. And I think that's it. That's all I had to talk about from last week.
Right. Here's what I got from last week. A, mute my goddamn phone. So sorry, guys. I mean, we're going to get better at it. I think it's these first couple of episodes. It's just going to show a lot of heart and a lot of, hey, this stuff is hard. And what we're doing is we're just doing the thing, and then we'll get better at the thing.
We'll figure it out. The good news is we have microphones, so hopefully we sound a little better. However, I still am recording in the large open basement. I was going to try to go in the tiny little craft room thinking that would help, but there's a lot of shit back there, and I don't have these cow horns in there.
No one can see them.
I know. I don't care. I can see them. Anyway, so hopefully sound is a little bit better with our mics now that we figured out how to use them.
Exactly. All right.
Hopefully we're using them properly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I sound a lot better, and I think it explains a lot that for some reason, the squad cast wanted to use the microphone from my webcam.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know it had a microphone. So that was a bit of a surprise for me, and also an easy fix. So let's hope, fingers crossed, we sound a tick better this week than we did last week.
Learning every day right. Or every week, right. whatever.
Fun stuff though, because you can, and I didn't even realize this was a thing, you can look at how many people have listened to your episodes.
How many people have listened to our episode since Thursday? We dropped it on Thursday. I like saying drop and emphasizing dropped it.
Drop. Yeah, there were 25 downloads out of this morning. So without any advertising or other than talking to your friends. I haven't told my friends because I'm still
– because you have FOPO of – and I'm okay with it. And
I'm still scared.
I'm going to let my sister look like the failure first. Okay.
I mean, for today, I mean, we'll be able to pick up on a theme as we continue talking that I am not having the best day.
Okay.
I might actually cry for no legitimate reason during the podcast.
When you cry, can you do it like daddy cries?
Like just hold it in and then go.
Yeah. Hoot like daddy. He doesn't cry like that so much anymore. Because he cries a lot more now than he ever did.
So often. God. Also, yeah. So here's another thing I wanted to put out here. If you have something you want to share with us, send us an email.
Oh, yeah.
GastroGirls@gmail.com. I'll look at those and delete the mean ones so Sarah doesn't see them unless I feel like it's important feedback for her. So also, if you guys are mean to me, I will have your email address and I will fight back. I see your hand up and no one else does because it's a podcast.
Well, I'm raising my hand because that's the other thing I noticed is when we speak at the same time, you can't get either of them. So number one, I started speaking over you when you were saying the email address. So I'm going to say it again, gastrogirls@gmail.com. The second thing I was going to say is I can't fucking remember what I was going to say. So
this is classic. No, you're fine. No one here has attention deficit problems at all. Yes, Sarah.
Me. Call me. What I was going to talk about was the email thing because I looked at the email today and I'm going to have to step up on the email because the way you handle email makes my heart pound very erratically. Like there's all kinds of unread emails, but there's spaces between them. Like you read certain emails, but then you left ones underneath it. not read. And that bothers me. You have to move in order. And before you close down the email application, you should have those all read and start if you need to follow up on something.
Sarah will be reading all of the emails. We'll delete the ones that are mean to me.
Okay. I mean, I feel like it's fair anyway, because you've done way more work on this than I have. So I should probably just take care of the emails.
I mean, you can tag me in if you want.
So what we're getting at is email us. Give us an email.
Do you remember when we were, I forget where we were in an airport somewhere, and I showed you that little bubble above my email that said I had 10,000 unread emails?
I couldn't breathe. I could not breathe. I can't do it.
Right. It's all about priorities.
How the fuck does that even happen? Like, I don't even know. I have to keep my emails. Like, I have to be able to see them all. Like, they have to be filed. I currently have in my work email. Let me tell you how many emails I actually have in my work email right now, in my inbox. I currently have 24 emails in my inbox.
I have 9. I just started on Monday.
I'm just going to say, fuck off. This will be the only time you have your work email in order.
Yeah, it will be. You know, the emails have like a really nice search function now. So you don't.
Yeah, they do. Well, that's why I can file them. I can put them away. I can move them. And then I can still search for them and still find them.
Right.
It's fucking amazing. Yet in our office in Pittsburgh, people still want to print everything out and put it in big ass fucking file cabinets because they find it's easier, or they think it's easier, to walk to that file cabinet and find the shit that you printed out from your email and put in a file folder.
That's rough. That's rough.
Okay. Okay. All right. So there's a shit ton of stuff to talk about today, and we are 15 minutes in, so we need to move forward. Maybe instead of talking about, no, we can still do that. We could talk about our catch up for the week and then our Gaster story. There was an eclipse today. So that'll give you a little hint into our Gaster story.
Turn around.
Every now and then I fall apart. Turn around.
Bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you now.
No, stop.
We're going to lose people.
We can't sing.
We're going to lose people.
Right. People. Listen. Dogs are crying.
All right. We're going straight into the fucking Gaster story then, because.
Yeah, let's do it.
That gave you a little idea of what happened in our house when we were the ages 17.
I was graduated. I was out of college.
Yeah. Like legit 17 and let's say 22.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
We put on a show for our parents singing Total Eclipse of the Heart. Like legit.
We came up with it while we were driving to Blockbuster to rent videos. For some reason that I cannot remember or comprehend, that song came on the radio and we were like, listen, we're such good singers. I'm like, you do the background and I'll do the front part. I'll be lead vocal and you be the backup singer. And you heard what we sound like when we sing. So we are driving down Route 51 to the Blockbuster in Baldwin. It had to be, what year was it? 94, 95.
I'm going to say 95.
Yeah, so 95, 96, because I was out of school and you hadn't graduated yet. So somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Right. And then after we rented the videos, we practiced more on the way home and then came into the house where my parents and Sarah were living and said, hey, you guys, listen, come on over. We put that song, I'm guessing it was on a tape, a mixtape, maybe one of those tape collections you ordered from TV with all of the songs from the 80s on it, so that we could sing it to our parents as grown children. It was not Freedom Rock, but close. turn around. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, we had motions.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the singing that was the epic part of it. There were
powder kegs. You can't make a statement about a powder keg
without me going like this.
Right. Without making the motions of what a powder keg would do when it exploded. And why, what is, so a powder keg is just a keg with like the gunpowder in it? Explosion powder?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you have one of those? I don't understand.
Giving off sparks.
Oh yeah. Okay. I should have rehearsed and remembered all the words before we started. But anyway, yeah, it's grown ass adults making our parents come watch us put on a performance when we cannot sing, we cannot dance. But you know what? We've got some fucking heart. That's what we've got.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's our Gaster Girl story of the week. That is just a tiny glimpse into what it was like to grow up Gaster. And to have our parents are literally two of the most lovely human beings on the planet, mm-hmm. because they stood there watching their adult children who are going to take care of them in their elder years, putting on a play for them with absolutely no talent or precursor or any kind of preparation from us. Just, hey, mom, dad, come on up. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. Oh my God, we did a thing. Come and listen. We're putting on a show. Now, I'm at, like, as a parent now to a child who is kind of the same age.
I'd be so fucking annoyed.
Like, how is she going to put me in a decent home if what we're doing at age 22, when she should be really legitimately looking for a job, is singing songs to me? Oh. The better gift, adult children, is to move out.
Yeah.
Rather than putting on a show for your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good time though. It was definitely a good time. I mean.
Right? I collapse. Like there, right now, I am laughing so hard on the inside, mm-hmm. thinking about it. I hope everyone enjoyed that story.
I mean, if you didn't enjoy that story, I don't know what you'll ever enjoy.
About us anyway.
Yeah. You probably should just turn it off and not come back.
Turn around.
I'm not going to do it. You're not baiting me into fucking singing again. You're not doing it.
Turn around.
Stop. Like, my ears started to bleed. My ears are bleeding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I need you now tonight. And I need you more than ever. If you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever.
Forever.
We can make it to the end of the line. Your love is like a shadow on me all of the time.
All of the time. I don't know what to do, and I'm always in the dark, living in a powder keg.
Giving off sparks.
Okay. Okay, we've lost.
Okay, we're done. That's it.
Two of the three listeners have now bowed out. But today there was an eclipse. Today it's eclipse day. And neither of us gave two fucks about it about 3 hours ago. And then we started watching the news and all of a sudden became number one fans of the eclipse and ABC broadcasters. I mean, I'm daily a fan of those, but yeah, it was actually a lot cooler than I ever imagined it would be. Like everybody kept talking about the eclipse, driving up to Erie to see the eclipse. And I was like, wow, even like right before it, Aaron sent me some pictures of the traffic in Erie. And I was like, that's making me hyperventilate. Like, it's just not that big of a deal to me. But now I would like to make the commitment that in 20 years, we will be traveling to wherever there's the 100% totality of the eclipse or of the sun or whatever the fuck is actually happening during the eclipse.
I'm going to admit I didn't do a whole lot of eclipse research other than think about, I should probably get some glasses. I'm like, nah, I'm not, because I'm going to be working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just in case anyone at my work is confused, I was on my front porch. And I didn't have the glasses because I didn't order them. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. But I would like peek out and try to do the least amount of damage to my retinas by looking at the eclipse through cloud cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
It was, yeah, it was very cool. I didn't really see much here. I mean, we were what, supposed to be at like 97%. It got dark. I didn't look at the sun because people say I'm the crazier of the sisters, but I'm actually a rule follower and I kind of like my sight.
Calculated risk.
So I did actually look at it real quick once and was like, wow, I never realized until just now that I never actually look at the sun.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck? We look at the sun every day. We're outside every day. Not until I actually looked up and looked directly into the sun was I like, wow, yeah, that's.
We don't do that.
That's something else.
That's going to hurt my eye.
Yowzer.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Should we go back to weekly catch-up corner?
Where are we? Yeah, we're at 23 minutes, so we can do weekly catch-up corner for a little bit, and then we'll talk about what we're supposed to talk about, which I have notes that I'm so proud of.
I took some notes. I did what you did. I made my own notes too.
Did you make
I wasn't going to.
Did you make a doc on the Google Doc?
I did. It's Christine awesome. Episode 2 is what mine's called.
Mine's Sarah Episode 2.
All right. So let's catch up. It was a busy week.
Time out. I just like to say that when we say catch up, when the transcription thing comes through, it says ketchup, like Heinz ketchup.
We're from Pittsburgh.
Yep. So go ahead.
Right. Busy week. First week of work. Love my new job. Love everyone here. The lady I replaced retired, and I'd been working with her for like the past 15 years. So I got to say goodbye to her. That was nice. Olivia had to find a new psychiatrist because we got new insurance.
There are fish in the psychiatrist's office that she goes to because she sent me a snap of them.
You're so cool.
It made me smile.
Right. So Liv had to go to the psychiatrist. Also, she had to have this follow-up appointment because the psychiatrist decided that her antidepressant wasn't probably doing enough for her. So she put her on an antipsychotic medicine. And Olivia was like, I'm not psychotic. And so she was like, I'm not taking that. And then she sat down with the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist is like, listen, I don't think that you're psychotic, but I do think that you're not getting as much effect out of your anti-depression medicine as you should be. So this should help put you over that. And Olivia, because she is her own little mental health advocate, said, I appreciate that, but my depression at this level is manageable and I don't want to take any more medicine, which is valid.
Okay. Yeah.
So they had a nice talk about that. The unfortunate part is because of how screwed up our mental health system is, Olivia can't go see that psychiatrist anymore. Because she has to go to a psychiatrist that's in our plan. And of course, that one isn't. So
she'll be changing to one that doesn't have fish?
She'll be changing. She could also look for fish. I mean, here's also, it could be part of the criteria. I'm not sure.
Is that listed on your website? Do you have fish in the waiting area?
Are you friendly and nice? And can there be fish? Is Nemo here?
I would like Dory. I think Dory fits mental health more than Nemo.
Just keep swimming. Well, you know, Nemo's dad clearly needed just a brief talk with a therapist or a psychiatrist at some point. I mean, he did lose his wife and all.
There was a lot there.
Five kids.
Yeah, he packed up so much shit and stuffed it in the back of the closet.
Right.
Whoo. Yeah, definitely. Right. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, so here's the other challenge I find that it's hard to manage Olivia's medicine and therapy because she lives in two states and you cannot have a therapist in a different state. Like you can't have a telehealth appointment with a therapist in Pennsylvania when you're in North Carolina. So even when we would go on vacation or to a soccer tournament or someplace, you have to have a therapist that's in your state. Like, and it doesn't matter if I have a therapist here that's in Philadelphia, that's cool. even though I'm 15 minutes from West Virginia or half an hour from West, I can't have one in West Virginia.
Who makes those rules?
I don't know. Like this is the whole thing. If I knew, I would talk to them and be like, do you know how hard this makes it for people who have children that are out of state?
I mean, where does that rule come from? Like, where did you learn of said rule? From your insurance, from the doctor?
From the therapists. Like Olivia's therapist was like, yeah, Olivia's like, well, I'll just call in next week. We'll be in a soccer tournament in Tennessee. And she was like, oh, you can't talk if you're in Tennessee.
That seems super fucking weird. So I'm going to give a shout out to our listeners. Send us an email. Explain that.
Right. If somebody can, that would be great. And if you could tell me which law covers that, I would also like to, you know, take a peek at that.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. So that's just, it's just going to be hard. And then by the time she finds a new psychiatrist in North Carolina, she'll be home for the summer and won't be able to see them for 3 months. So just coordinating care for someone who is out of state suffering from mental health is, again, just unnecessarily challenging.
And causes more mental health issues, actually, for right. Not just the patient.
Right. I mean, if she had diabetes, we could have one doctor. That doctor would be able to talk to her while she's in North Carolina. Like, it's just, it's like these little, not microaggressions, but these little things that make it clear that mental health isn't given the same weight or, you know, gravity that other health issues are. It's very irritating. So anyway, that's the story of more insurance and Olivia today.
It's discouraging and stupid. Just
right.
That just makes no sense. I mean, I'll go back to herpes. When we were in North Carolina last year, or maybe a couple years ago, I got a huge cold sore, and I called my doctor, right. And she's in Pennsylvania, and she was allowed to talk to me about my herpes, and then call me in some meds down to North Carolina for my herpes. So why wouldn't that same thing be available in psychiatry?
Yeah, I don't
fucking make sense.
Yeah, if you would have had like a little problem, like nothing big enough to send you to the emergency room in North Carolina, like nothing that big or that out of, but if you would have felt like I would be better off if I just had a quick chat with somebody today.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked.
Wonder if you're an AA and you're out of state, are you allowed to go to a meeting out of state?
I don't know.
These are things.
Yeah, because I guess it's not therapy. It's just
feel like
you're not allowed to go on vacation.
You're not allowed to leave the state. And you know what? When you go to college, you probably shouldn't leave the state because it just makes everything difficult for your mental health.
And your parents. Again, gastrogirls@gmail.com. Go ahead and drop us a line if you can answer any of these questions.
Yeah, because it's fucked. That's fucked.
Be nice about it though, because you'll make Sarah cry.
See, when she says you'll make Sarah cry, it actually means you'll make her cry. Again, yeah. I am medicated. And P.S., I don't do well with mean people. So.
All right.
Remember, so then I'll have your email and I'll find a way to be mean back.
Fight back. So again, that kind of leads us into my next catch-up corner.
You have another catch-up corner.
Yeah, it's my shame at my inability to manage everyday affairs today.
Oh.
And my inability to meditate for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about meditation. Go ahead.
Can't, like, right. So today I'm just struggling across the board. Like, I got up at 5:30. I went and did the yoga. At yoga, I was like, okay, downward dog, down, down, downward dog, downward dog. She's like, okay, breathe, reconnect with your breath. And I was like, oh no, I have just been singing downward dog and I haven't been breathing. Seems simple enough, except for I couldn't get my shit together at yoga. And then I came home and there was something very tiny and administrative I should have taken care of. And I didn't. And I am angry with myself. So, I mean, it was I should have opened a package, recognized what it was, and sent the package to the right place. In the meantime, I looked at the package, made an assumption about what it was, filed it away in the wrong place, and just found it today. And now it's in the wrong place, not where it should be. And it's very irritating.
It wasn't a package of bacon, was it?
It was not a package of bacon. It was a distribution from my 401k.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be at my house. It should be at the 401k place.
So you're feeling like it's just a day. It's just today.
I know. I recognize that.
I mean, I'm not saying that to like be like, come on, it's just a day, get over it. What I meant was like, yeah, it's just one of those days. Fucking sucks.
Right. And then there's an eclipse. So now I'm like doubly distracted. Like I had my whole to-do list for today and that list is still essentially what it was this morning.
The cool thing about that is that you can just add those things for your to-do list for tomorrow and start over.
Yes, I can do that. Can you hear that phone ringing? Because that's not my phone.
What is that? No, I can't hear it.
Oh, it's David's phone.
Okay. Yeah.
No, yeah, there were like two things like that where I couldn't – like I have a lot of different ways to kind of cope with this stuff usually – like to-do lists and really pretty tablets and making checklists. And I just get very angry and frustrated with myself when I'm not able to effectively deal with things. So I am mad.
Unfortunately, I'm not a licensed mental health professional.
Right.
I can say I understand and I get it because, yeah, that's – yeah. Uh-huh.
It, right. Yeah. So I will be fine. I will regroup. And, yeah, and the nice thing is it's not the first time it's happened. It's not the first day that I've had that's like this. It's the first day in quite a while, so I am disappointed in myself.
Let me ask you this. Have you gotten anything that you could check off of your to-do list for the day?
Yeah. I mean, I went to yoga, which is hard because it's at 5:30 in the morning and I don't want to get up.
You don't live near anything. So it's got to be at least a half hour drive.
Right. Yeah. It's in Washington. So I have to get up. I have to get in the car. I have to drive a half an hour. I then have to make pleasant conversation while figuring out how to do downward dog the right way.
You've done more than I have in like months, just in one morning.
I did that. I had a couple of meetings I had to go to today. I had two meetings to set up later on in the week. So I did that. I talked to my boss today. Yeah. I mean, things got done, but.
So you can take joy in crossing those off, adding some other shit to tomorrow's to-do list and getting it done then.
Yes. I'll do that.
And you can call me tomorrow and tell me how it goes.
All right. I will do that. Okay. Yeah. And I think that the last note I made on here is just how close that brings me to tears when this stuff happens. And it shouldn't. And I know that it shouldn't. So I just fucking deal with it. And tell me about your weekend because you did fun things for your birthday.
Do you feel better when you cry though?
No, because I just feel frustrated. Like the crying doesn't come from a place of cleansing. It comes from me being so angry and not having anything to do with that emotion other than crying.
What about just screaming the word fuck over and over again? Because that's really, that's one go-to for me.
No, what I will do is what I used to do, which was terrible, was just to have some snacks. Now I don't do that. So that is again, sort of a positive thing.
Don't do that. You should probably just do shots of Fireball.
I'm not going to do that.
No, not a good idea. Okay. Again, not a mental health professional.
Not going to do that. What I am going to do is think about different – what I am going to do is do like
– You do. You should work on a tiny baby model.
Oh, but I have a baby blanket I have to finish up. So I am going to crochet later on and that should make me feel better.
Do the crocheting.
I will do the crocheting. Okay. And I almost sent it to you. So there was a lady who was talking about attention deficit disorder and crocheting, which I was like, what is it? She was like, don't do granny squares because you're going to do a granny square and then the pattern is going to call for another 117 granny squares and you're going to already have done one.
Yeah.
And you're going to be expected to do 117 of the same granny square.
And that's dumb.
She's like, start with an animal, like a baby Yoda, and then go from there. And I was like, oh, I can't like it enough. Yeah. Can't like it enough.
I mean, I don't know what a lot of what you just said means, but baby Yoda and the one that you made for me in your crocheting, I mean, that makes sense. And the whole repetitive, same exact fucking thing 8,000 fucking times. I get that. I get that too.
Right, right. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah. I don't know. If you guys are watching the video, this thing right here above me is a coffee cup with a smiley face that I crocheted. That was super cute. And this thing over here is a kitty.
Kitty.
Crocheted kitty.
Kitty.
There's a crocheted sushi roll somewhere, but I can't. I think it's right next to the kitty. It's laying down flat, so you can't tell what it is. There you go.
Off you go. Sell those on Etsy. Make us some money for good podcasting equipment.
Oh my God. Could you imagine somebody, more than 10 people ordering the same thing and then me calling them and being like, I can't. I'm sorry.
Can't do it. I mean, I tried. Okay. So it was my birthday weekend. I turned 46. This morning I told my sister I turned 36. Because I just need more right than 46. So anyway, went on a little girls trip up to the mountains, you know, Deep Creek.
Is it up or down? I feel like it's down.
Down. I don't know. It's a mountain, so I feel like you're going up. It doesn't fucking matter. Right?
I don't know. I don't know. Are we going directional or are we going by altitude?
I guess we should be directional. No, I guess you're right, because I get annoyed when mommy and daddy are like, hey, we're coming down to your house. No, you're not. You're coming up to my house. I live north of you. So you're correct. So I went down to the mountains.
Again, guys, gastergirls@gmail.com. If you can help us settle the debate about how to say it, we would love it.
I went down to the mountains. No. Okay. Anyway, so that's what we did. We did a girls weekend and it went really well, because normally the girls weekend, I go there on Friday and get super shit faced, and then I can't enjoy anything else the rest of the weekend. Like Saturday is a total wash and yada, yada, yada. So this year, somehow I didn't get shit faced on Friday and I woke up without a hangover, which was a pleasant surprise, but I was so excited about not having a hangover that I had to sabotage myself by making what I like to refer to as a Key West mimosa. Because just a mimosa with a little bit of champagne and a normal amount of fucking orange juice just isn't enough. It's not. So I filled a cup 3/4 of a way full of champagne. I don't know how to explain this if you're not watching the video, but, and then on top of that, I put, I don't know, a shot or three of vodka, and then a tiny little splash of orange juice just to give it the color. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you're just, I mean, I'm familiar with the Key West mimosa, having been a victim of the Key West mimosa.
Yeah. So I guess I'll take it back. We'll throw in a Gaster Girl story super quick. For my 40th birthday, my sister took me on a cruise. Our first stop was in Key West. It was about 7 a.m. We went directly to the bar to drink mimosas, because that's what you do. And we're sitting there and she's making the mimosas in front of us. And I looked at my sister and said, did she just put a fucking shot of vodka in that? So the end of that story is my sister blowing out a flip-flop, us being too drunk to buy new flip-flops, getting back to the boat with one flip-flop, then continuing to drink more and passing out with my purse tangled around me. It was a 3-day cruise. I spent a day and a half of it hungover. Okay, anyway, so I ruined not just my day, but there was another birthday girl there. I mean, I think she appreciated it. I think she had a lot of fun. She was throwing up by noon. So,
okay. Wait, on the cruise? Oh, no, on your birthday weekend.
Yeah, this is birthday weekend. So we were celebrating another girl's 40th birthday, and she was the birthday girl. My birthday was Friday, and then the rest of the weekend was hers. So Saturday, I was like, hey, I'll just make you mimosas. It's your birthday. What do you want? I'm going to make them. And I just kept feeding them to her. So yeah, that's – beware of the Key West mimosa. Seems like a good lesson.
I mean, It always seems like a great idea at the beginning of the day. They're like, yeah, let's just get into some mimosas. Once we keep, we'll find a level, we'll keep a steady state all day.
Right.
We're like, I'm at the point where if I find a level, like I'm at a level for like an hour and a half and then I got to lay down.
Yeah, there is no level. I'm kind of like a toddler when it comes to energy, but with drinking. Like you have two speeds. Like a toddler has two speeds. They're asleep or they're fucking nuts. I'm either sober or fucking wasted or hungover. So I actually have three states.
Three. There's three speeds.
Yep.
Either actively drinking or not drinking.
Right. Right. So it's rough. And this week we're taking off for Nashville for another friend's 40th birthday.
Yeehaw.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. Because in Nashville, I mean, we're going to be there for like 4 days. I will not lose a day in Nashville because I'm a fucking idiot. I won't. I refuse to.
Okay. Again, gastergirls@gmail.com. Throw in the odds, Sarah goes hard that first night and then sleeps for three more days while in Nashville.
Well, here's the other problem is we arrive in Nashville at 7 a.m. So I'll be all fucked up on the Xanax. I don't know if it's a good thing or not. Like maybe by the time, like I just chill out like throughout the morning. And then by the time we go out in the evening, like the Xanax will be all gone and I'll be able to have a normal night.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, all of that being said, we're at 45 minutes, so we should probably talk a little bit about FOPO.
The thing we wanted to talk about during this podcast. Yeah. All right. Listen, this is your thing. So you tell us about it. I've got a couple of notes on the FOPO cast, but tell us about Dan Harris and 10% Happier.
Yeah. So I have notes here. So if you watch it, you'll see me. I'm looking down and I apologize, but it's just the way I work. Okay. So first of all, I listened to, well, let's talk about Dan Harris. Dan Harris, he was a journalist for ABC. He's still a journalist. I consider it, right? He retired from ABC a few years ago. And the thing I knew him most for was his panic attack on live television. He was filling in on Good Morning.
Oh, your name was German.
Good Morning America. And had a legit panic attack on live TV. There were 5.109 people. Is that what I wrote down? Yeah, watching that live. So yeah, and he couldn't breathe. So I don't know. Go ahead and watch it. It's pretty impressive that he went from what that was in 2004 to what he does now. So anyway, I heard a little bit about him and his experience, and then I heard about 10% Happier on Good Morning America. He was on there promoting, I think, at the 10th anniversary of it, actually. And so I decided to check out the podcast. Just so happens the first podcast I open up is about FOPO, which is fear of people's opinions. This is something that is near and dear to my heart because of my father, our father, your father. Anyway, when I was 23 years old, we had a wedding to go to. It was a family wedding. And my boyfriend had broken up with me right before the wedding or, you know, close to it. And so I was crying, talking about how awful it was that I'd have to go to another wedding without a date. And everybody is going to be looking at me about how I'm going to be this old cat lady spinster, you know, drama. And my dad put it to me the best way he possibly could. And he said, Sarah, listen to me. No one gives a shit about you.
Like, it's the greatest. It's the best piece of advice ever.
That's pretty fucking aggressive, Dad. Wow. Wow. He's like, we are going to a wedding. People are there for a wedding. They're worried about the wedding. More so, they're worried about themselves. They're not worried about you. They don't give a shit if you have a boyfriend or not. They don't give a shit what kind of clothes you're wearing. They don't give a shit what kind of makeup you have on. Nobody gives a shit. Best lesson of my life. It's something that I still battle with, which I love this podcast. But when I'm getting into that wonder what somebody will think of me, I hear my dad saying, no one gives a shit about you. So let's talk a little bit about Michael Gervais. Do you pronounce the S?
Yes.
Gervais. Okay. Michael Gervais. So he was the guest on Dan Harris's podcast to talk about FOPO. And he kind of coined or made up FOPO. in his book, which I ordered today. And his book is called The First Rule of Mastery: Stop Worrying About What Other People Think of You. So I thought that's kind of cool. So that's why I ordered it. Well, I ordered it for several reasons. But I wrote down a couple things I want to read, quoting from the book's website. So FOPO is the water we swim in, the air we breathe. It's everywhere and it informs everything we do. The career we choose, the cars we drive, the relationships we have, the risk we take or don't take, and the possibilities that we hold for ourselves. The book itself is described as a wake-up call that when we give more value to other people's opinions than our own, we're living on their terms and not our own. I thought those are pretty powerful things and pretty cool. So anyway, mostly FOPO is when you're talking about you're seeking approval or acceptance versus just being an authentic person. So I think me being the materialistic type of person that I am, a great example of the FOPO was when you're getting dressed to go out and you're in the closet and you're looking for something and you're like, ooh, I have this cute little thing. I have this cute little thing. I bet if I can fit into that, somebody, Joe Schmo, will think I look cuter in that if I could get into that one. But then maybe, oh, if I put that on, somebody's going to think I'm way too fat. Versus, hey, there's this cute little leather jacket that makes me feel like a fucking rock star. So I'm going to throw that shit on and rock it because it makes me feel awesome.
Can I talk about my weekend?
Yay. There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say it happened to me this weekend. Like David and I were shopping and I was like, I bought these really cute jeans in a really small size, which hadn't happened for like a very long time. And next to the cute jeans was this leather, fake leather, pleather motorcycle jacket. And I've seen it 100 times and I've seen it on people. And I'm like, that is such a look. And you know, maybe one day I'll be able to pull that look off. And we were going out where I was going to see a bunch of people that I probably hadn't seen in like 20 years. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, but I can't, not tonight. Cause I don't want everyone to think like, I think I'm a rock star. I don't like want anyone to think I think I'm a rock star, which is stupid because obviously I am a rock star.
Right.
And I bought it. I put it on in the hotel room. I asked David 5 times, like no less than 5. Do I look all right? Do I look all right? Do I look all right? It's okay, right? It's okay. And eventually I was like, listen, self, you love this. You have loved this look, this jeans, white t-shirt, leather jacket thing forever. So put it on and go out. Have fun. No one gives a shit what you're wearing. Nobody cares because they are in their closets like the same way. They are in their closets. It was a bunch of 50-year-old people seeing a rock band we liked when we were children. And there were so many crossbody bags that were carefully selected to match outfits at this thing that you can't swing a dead cat in this venue without hitting a crossbody bag. So there you go. I wore it and I had fun and I'm glad I did. Thank you, Dan Harris.
There you go. So, I mean, talking about like, that's of course like the most
obvious
elementary form of FOPO, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah. A couple other things that I really wanted to talk about.
Did you pick up on the performance versus purpose driven, like performance driven and purpose driven? Because that one really stuck with me, right? As the firstborn.
Yeah.
And it being very important to me, what like getting approval from other people is obviously very important when you're the oldest, right? Like that's what drives you. What I wrote down on my little notes is I am steeped in this. I am like a tea leaf in the boiling water of a performance mindset. Like I'm all over it. I just wanted to do better than the next person. Like I just wanted to do better. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to get the best grades. And when I did, people are like, good job, Chrissy. So I built an entire personality on getting people to say, good job, Chrissy. Like whether it's your parents or your Aunt Midge or the priest at church when we went with our grandma, it didn't even matter who was saying it as long as somebody was saying it.
And that brings me to this next point, which I don't dive too deep into the performance versus the purpose, because I think that's the way deeper side of it outside of the closet example.
Guess what I dug deep into.
Yeah. So that's sort of what I want to pull stuff out of the book. I have a lot of plans for this book and I have to read a lot of shit. So I'm not sure how I feel about all the reading for this podcast when I just want to read about fairies making out. Like, I don't know. So
it all ties in.
Anyway, but going from that, like you're doing all of these things because you want to do just a little bit better and you want to get that approval. So what Michael says is that FOPO just leads to playing it safe.
Yeah.
And actually chasing the dreams of others.
Right.
So that's like in your example, like the grades. It wasn't right. Like, you want to be smart and you're an intellectual person and you want to learn more. But at the end of the day, you were just like, oh, well, they think it's all about the grades. So that's what I'm going to keep doing.
I know you guys can't hear me, but I am nodding my head hard right now. Yeah,
really, really, really hard. So go ahead.
That's the thing about their performance mindset is I don't have to show you who I really am, because all I'm going to show you is your reflected value. So and if I can show you your reflected value, like the value of the grades, the value of, you know, putting together a killer outfit, the value of having the bluest eyes in the room, as long as I can show you, that, I don't have to show you anything authentic about myself. Like I don't have to dig any deeper into my purpose or my values. I can hold you at arm's length and be like, yeah, I'm really good at math. Don't ask me questions about what I think or what I believe in. I just want to be good at math.
I love the maths.
Shut up.
Finding that purpose is something that is kind of scary and also one of those things that I'm like, bullshit. let's just be honest about it. It's because I don't know how to find it, because I don't know how to dig for it. It's along the lines of meditation, where I think these things would be awesome for me. Like I think finding my purpose will open up so many things in my life. And I feel like meditation will help me on so many levels. But both of them, I have a really hard time buying into, if that makes sense.
What do you think? Because I thought the same thing. Like the reason we like that performance mindset is because it's easy to measure, right? It's easy. It's not hard to figure out what other people want from you. Like it's not hard to figure out people want you to be good at your job. It's not hard to figure out that somebody wants you to work overtime. But figuring out your purpose is fucking impossible. And we weren't prepared for that. The kids these days, our parents, nobody is prepared through education to find your purpose. You're right. Prepared to go out and get good grades and make some money.
Yeah. And please everyone around you. And that's what my next point goes into that. So with FOPO, you're causing yourself anxiety because you want to please other people. The other side of that is the anxiety that we feel from finding our purpose. Like we're going to have anxiety either way. But like you said, that second one is a lot harder than that first one.
Yeah.
So we talk about FOPO and like how we need to get past it. But kind of when it gets down to it, to get out of FOPO, we're going to have to. It's like the it's going to get worse before it gets better type thing.
Exactly. Like, and I think it's interesting that this is the podcast that we listened to that forced both of us to kind of change directions on this podcast, right? Like, before we listened to this podcast at the same time, we were like, oh, we're funny. Like we're humorous. We'll tell stories about singing Total Eclipse of the Heart. And we'll talk a little bit about people's mental health issues. And that'll, but after this, it was as if both of us were like, yeah, that thing is going to be hard to do. That thing about finding your purpose, that thing about becoming the Gaster Girls is going to be a challenge. But we think both of us think that it's going to be important. Like, and I think the way that Dan Harris, well, Michael Gervais puts it, this is the biggest thing that you can do, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is finding who you are. And it's interesting that I think as we go forward in this podcast and we keep looking at ways that we try to become the Gaster Girls, like the next couple of things that I want to talk about are all based on being real and being authentic and things being hard and challenging and coming at it from the FOPO kind of viewpoint, looking at people's opinions and being scared about people's opinions is really that huge barrier to finding that purpose.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun, Sarah.
I think it's going to be fun. And that's the thing is that we want to do this podcast so people listen to it because that's cool too. But ultimately, I think we both agree that this is really going to help us too. So that's another bonus. A couple other things that were mentioned on this podcast I want to talk about. One was the human energy crisis as I swipe my face because I'm tired. Everybody is tired. There's just so much to do. Everybody is tired. And the great line here that I pulled from this was when Michael mentions the world is not designed for us to thrive.
Right.
The world is harsh. And it's actually doing the exact opposite. It's causing this human energy crisis. And he talks about the mental skills that you need in order to counter that so we can thrive. So another reason I brought the book, because he gets more in depth into the mental skills that we need to thrive in a world that is against us thriving. So right.
Do you think it goes back again to us not preparing people the way that we should prepare them when they're younger? Like when I look back on getting Olivia ready to go out into the world, right? A lot of what I emphasized wasn't necessarily building resilience and understanding that things are hard. And you know, I feel like through Olivia's mental health journey, like we got where we needed to be, but we might not have got there if she didn't have the challenges that she has. Like a lot of what I did for Olivia was just make things easy for her. Like in early days, I was like, listen, no, you're fine. You're fine. Like when she got cut from one soccer team, I'm like, well, you know, we'll just go find a different soccer team. Like, not your fault, not that you needed to work harder. We'll just go find a different team. You know, not necessarily pointing out the fact that, hey, that's your responsibility. Like you didn't make that team because you didn't want to.
Right.
I mean, she was 10 at the time, so it seemed a little harsh, but I mean,
it's such a fine line, especially these days. And especially when you're talking about athletics and how we, well, cause I mean, I'm the soft parent in our house. Legit. But we also have two extremes. So it's hard to find that center and be able to teach them. I mean, maybe I went a little too harsh and Owen asked to try out for Cup. And I was like, can you make the A team? And he said, probably not. And I said, then no. Right? Now I regret that. But it goes back to being to parenting and trying to figure out what the hell we're all doing.
Right. No one's got the right answers. Like I haven't seen one parent in, you know, raise 17 years of raising a kid who's got it all right. Like a couple of them are doing pretty good and a couple of them are like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone's got it because again, no one really helped you with these questions. Like, how do I not set a performance mindset when that's all anybody else wants to see? When
can, like, I'm still working on this shit. Right. How can I teach this shit to someone else when I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing? And like Michael said during the podcast, these mental skills that we have to develop, he even said, I didn't have these when I was a kid. Nobody taught me this. Nobody taught it to me in high school. Nobody taught it to me in college.
Right.
This is stuff I'm still learning at the age of 50. Like, there's still – and think about the mental capacity of a child.
Right.
How much harder is this – all of this for them to process? So right. How do we do it? How do we teach them? I don't fucking know. Let me right. try to teach myself and we'll figure it out. I don't
– Exactly. I'm like, let me just bring you along on this journey. And being yeah. – I think, you know, at some point – in Olivia's development, I was like, listen, I'm not doing this right. You know, I'm not doing this right. Yeah, I'm doing the best that I can to get you ready. Like, you're 13, 14. Like, you already know that I'm not the world's best parent. I'm a parent and none of us are the world's best parent. So yeah. you get what you get. And the rest of it is kind of on you, kiddo. Yeah. I mean, I'll do the best I can and I'll get you as ready as I can, but I'll give you all of Pappy's, you know, keys to the world, which includes no one gives a shit about you.
And this too shall pass.
It's probably
her next get tattooed at some point.
Right. Anyway, so I feel like I keep interrupting your thoughts.
No, really. No, because I mean, that's the whole point is that I dug into this and I want to hear your thoughts and we probably have some that aren't the same, which is always good to what's the word share. And going back to the human energy crisis, he also talked about the second self and code switching.
I love code switching.
Which is life sucking, sucks the literal fucking life out of you. Which these things basically mean you act one way with one group and you act a different way with another group. You act one way at work, you act a different way at home. Personally, like to think that I don't do this, but
I
don't know.
You might not. Like,
I don't think that I do. Like, I feel like I'm a fairly big asshole in all groups to which I belong.
This made a huge difference in my career in the past 5 years. So I feel like I was a master at code switching up until you know, Olivia going through what she went through. So I feel
you realized how much life it was sucking out of you.
Right. When I just didn't have it to give, like when I didn't have that kind of energy to put into it, like up until then, I'm like, oh, this is my work voice. I work in a very regulated industry and we will be super prim and proper. And meanwhile, I think fart jokes are funny. And a lot of the way that I would approach my life is just through like humor and making a joke and making people bringing this person into the conversation because I thought they had something to offer, but doing it in a very serious way and requesting that. And then kind of after that sort of life-changing sort of soul implosion of having to really decide what was important and what to focus on, a lot of my normal everyday personality started to come out at work.
Yeah.
And what that kind of led me to, at least in the job environment, was I like working for a company where I can be my whole authentic, whatever that means, person. And for me, that means approaching a lot of things with a lot of sense of humor in an industry that's so regulated and so tight-assed that often you won't see anyone smile at a meeting. And here I am with some jokes and some lighthearted conversation and bringing more of, hey, what did you guys do over the weekend? Like, let's take the work really, really seriously, but there's really no need for us to take ourselves seriously. Yeah. And that has made a huge difference, not only in me being a little bit more successful, but me being happier at work. Does that make sense?
100%. And I'm going to say, I don't do this. I don't do the code switching. And coworkers of mine are listening to this and are going to listen to this. And feel free to comment. But
Gastergirls@gmail.com.
I'm pretty sure I'm the one who makes things lighter and makes things funny. And that's just probably to a fault the other way. Like, Sarah, we need you to shut the fuck up and focus on what we're doing. Quit making inappropriate jokes, like whatever. But anyway, so that was just two things.
Sorry.
No. That's exactly what I wanted. But I want to go back to kids. And speaking about kids, what, Owen? I don't know. Are you barking? I don't know. When 3:30. Okay.
Love you too, Owen.
Anyway, so going back to the kids, and are we doing this right? One of my main things with Owen is just being a good human being. So the other thing that was talked about on the podcast was worrying versus caring.
Oh, yeah.
So the focus is on worrying about what other people think of us. That's an excessive worry that we don't need, that's draining the life out of us. Yet we still want to care about things because we want to be decent human beings. We want to teach our kids to be decent human beings. We want to have that empathy bone, maybe not as much as some of us have it. But that excessive worrying is what's causing the energy crisis. And everyone cares and everyone should care. And another one of my favorite parts, there are a lot of favorite parts, but I really like this one. Talking about people who don't care. The people who don't care are sociopaths and narcissists. And how Michael puts it, we currently have enough of those in our society. All those spots are full. We don't need any more. So please keep caring. Please continue to be good human beings. Have a little bit of empathy. Don't go the route of the sociopath or the narcissist and not care. So there's a difference. There's a difference between those two things. And caring shouldn't suck the life out of you. Worrying is really what's killing us.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sure.
I mean, I'm just so excited to throw this out to you, is that if you can read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck this week, we can tie in caring and purpose-driven. Like, it's always so interesting to me that there's so much overlap in these things that are going to make us better people.
Yeah.
Like,
it makes sense.
Not, right. Not self-help in a way that, oh, here's this magic elixir I'm going to sell you. Like, the part of caring is finding out what to care about, right? And I think Michael brings it around to this point, is that if you can find what to care about, then you have your purpose. You've got purpose-driven personality that can be like, I don't have to care about that. Like, whether or not I'm wearing a leather jacket to this party, because that's not part of my value. Like, I don't value having everyone think I'm a snappy dresser. What I value is feeling good about myself and being able to engage and connect with the people that I met on Saturday. Like, that's the value or the purpose behind the outfit, if you want me to kind of tie it all together, right? And The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck is not necessarily not giving a fuck about anything. It's finding the things that are most important to give a fuck about.
Right.
Like, the author of that book, Mark, I want to keep saying that it's
just stop talking about it.
Oh yeah. No, we're talking about it next week.
So that's perfect, because we're a little bit over an hour. So, and one more reason that I bought the book is that Michael talks about ways to fight FOPO. One of them is to focus less on yourself.
Yeah.
Which is, it makes my brain hurt, because I'm saying I want to wear the leather jacket because I feel better. So am I fucking up? Am I not fuck? There's so much. Anyway, and journaling and meditating. Meditating is something I really want to try. Like, I really want to. And the next Dan Harris episode that I started listening to, just a very tiny bit of it, is actually with his brother. And his brother was a huge skeptic of meditating, like, to the point, like, making fun of him and shit all the time. And now he's big into meditation. So yeah, it's hard because it's one of those and I'm like, what the fuck ever. So that's something that I want to do. But there are some other things, and he dives into them a little bit deeper in the book, and I want to look at that. But to wrap us up, Dad was supposed to come on and be interviewed.
Because he's the master of FOPO.
Yeah, because he's the master of FOPO. But he could not, because he is not the master of not drinking too much. And he now is hungover. Or as we like to call in our house, he has malaria.
Right. Again, so, we are not medical professionals, so.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not worry about that.
So but, if you guys want to follow along for next week, we're going to be diving a little bit deeper into, what's the name of the book? The Subtle Art of Not Giving
a Fuck.
Mark Manson.
So Mason. I haven't started. I don't know. I don't have it with me. I haven't started reading it yet, but I've been told it took some other smarty pants an afternoon to read it. So I should be able to polish it off in 2 days, maybe.
If you want, the Audible is like 5 hours and 24 minutes.
I have a hard time with the Audibles.
Not everybody does, dude.
Yeah, I'm not good with the Audibles because I start thinking of other things, and then I'm, next thing right. I know, we're an hour in and I'm like, wow, I'm much better focused when I read.
But just to let you know, if I was reading it aloud to you, it would take me 5 hours and 21 minutes. So you should be able to read silently.
That makes sense.
Faster than that.
That makes sense. I get what you were going for now.
Right. It's a skinnier book and the print's real big. It's like Twilight-esque.
My favorite. Oh, Erin went to see the eclipse up in Erie, and I told her to be sure to send pictures of Edward and Bella.
That's the best.
How many jokes were told about that today?
Oh, I told 14, I'm pretty sure.
Lots of them. All right. So we're going to wrap it up there. Next week, we talk about the subtle art of not giving a fuck. And I should have some updates on our Nashville trip. Yikes.
Luck. Oh, and I'm taking your mother to North Carolina to visit Liv.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They're getting on a plane. So there should be plenty of fucking stories from that.
It's going to be
fun. You might actually have more stories than I bring home from Nashville.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
All right. So let's wrap it up. I have to pee too.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Love you all. Love yourselves.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.